From the front lines of the information war, this is the War Room with Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Haven't seen this one in a while. We got some more AI to show you. Yeah, lots more videos to show you today. As we'll get into all the actual news here. Of course, all the actual news is the underlying condition for what has led us to the big break in MAGA. In other words, it's all bad news if you love America or are Trump. Israel is not stopping attacking Lebanon, which means there is no real ceasefire, which means we're still in the middle of a giant war with Iran with no end in sight. And the fuel shortages are getting to such a point that there's like a civil war breaking out in Ireland, like an actual, like they are deploying the military to shut down protests. And the protesters are going on TV and saying, our forces are bigger, come and get us. So this is going to happen all over the place pretty soon if this doesn't get solved. And it's not getting solved because of Israel. It got started because of Israel. It's being perpetuated because of Israel. The ceasefires that we're attempting to get are all being scuttled and destroyed because of Israel. And they are just rapidly and aggressively expanding in every way that they possibly can, including just openly bombing civilian infrastructure all over Lebanon. So we're going to get into all of that. I could just keep going with the responses to Alex Jones and Donald Trump's beef, but we'll move on. There's actual things going on. I'm wondering, should we go to clip 12 or clip 22? I guess let's go to clip 12 here. Here it is. Fake peace. This is another AI update. Little AI update for you for how the war is going. Let's watch.
You ran to China. You begged on your knees.
Please be my friend.
Please, China, please. You called Moscow. You cried on the phone. Please mediate for me. I'm all alone. But here's the news you don't want to hear. The strait is moving.
Ships are here. China passes. Japan passes. India too.
Fake peace. Fake peace. Not for you.
Fake peace. Fake peace.
No release. Open for the world. But for you. No Greece.
Iran said, everyone's welcome. Come trade, come through.
But you and Israel.
Sorry.
Not for you.
Fake peace, fake peace.
10 days and gone. You cry to everyone. From dusk to dawn. The strait is open for the human race.
Fake peace.
Go cry in your place.
You stabbed them twice while they sat at the table. You talked about peace, but your aim was unstable. You sent the bums with your little friend's help. Now you want to pass. Go box somewhere else. The strait is open for China, for Japan, for France, for every ship that wants to dance. But when you come with your golden crown, fake peace.
Fake peace.
Sit down.
Open for the world, open for trade, open for everyone. That's how it's played. China ships, Japan ships, India's fleet. The whole world moves, you taste defeat.
Fake peace.
Hear that sound? That's your empire flushing down. You begged for mediation. You begged for a deal. But the strait says no.
And that's real.
Fake peace, fake peace.
No release.
Yeah. Open for the world, but for you.
No Greece.
Iran said, everyone's welcome. Come trade, come through.
But you and Israel.
Sorry.
Not for you.
10 days and gone. You cry to everyone from dusk to dawn. The strait is open for the human race.
Fake peace.
Go cry in your place.
Right, you so this went is to the latest you went to the you know, AI creation out of Iran mocking Donald Trump with extreme accuracy, I have to say. Issues airports issue 3-week warning over jet fuel shortage as Hormuz Strait crisis continues. European airports have reportedly warned the European Union that jet fuel shortages could soon disrupt the summer holidays of many in the bloc. Airport Council International Europe have written a letter to EU Transport Commissioner warning about the dwindling jet fuel reserves across the sector. It has been reported. inflation surges as effects of the Iran war shows in prices. The consumer price index jumped 3.3% in the year through March, a two-year high, reflecting higher costs for energy and goods affected by the disruption in the Middle East. Trump has started the Iran war with five goals. How far has he gotten? Not very on any of them. Of course, he didn't really start the war with five goals. They started with three goals, then they added two goals, and then they added one goal that didn't exist before the war because the strait was open before the war. So one of the goals is simply dealing with the effects of the war that you started. How's it going? And so you're going to lash out at Alex Jones. Is Alex Jones at fault for any of this? Or is this all you and Mark Levin and Lindsey Graham, the very people that you are salivating over like a pathetic worm? Let's go to clip 21 here. This is one of the targets of Donald Trump's ire, Megyn Kelly, explaining how we got into this war, who got us into it. Let's watch.
To know just as much as anybody else, but all I can think in my head, based on what I've read in the paper, is we got here thanks to Bibi Netanyahu, Lindsey Graham, and Mark Levin, and ultimately President Trump. That's not to take agency away from the president, who was bamboozled. I don't know why. He was too weak to say no. He was too gullible to see through the lies. One way or another, he allowed himself to be pushed into this insane conflict that caused forget. You know, the blood and treasure we spilled, as you point out, at least 15 service personnel, I believe we're being lied to about the total number of dead and wounded. But we don't know what the accurate death toll in Iran is. How many civilians in Iran died? How many died in our allies around Iran who now don't trust us? What penalty do we pay other than the cost and the 15 lives that we expended, which count for a lot? But we didn't take the brunt of Iran's response. Our allies did, with whom we did not consult prior to starting this war, who are very, very angry, many of them, about what was done to them. What's going to happen to the trillions of dollars Trump was touting that they donated, they were offered to donate to the United States just to be nice guys and have great relations? You think they're going to spend that on us now? They're going to spend it on themselves. They've got to rebuild massive portions of their own countries thanks to the bombing campaign unleashed against them because they were within reach by Iran, who couldn't reach us. So we've upset our allies. We've pleased Israel, although now they're upset that there's a ceasefire. We've upset the American base. The Trump coalition that got him elected is completely fractured and in smithereens. And he doesn't care, Piers, because he doesn't care about the Republican Party. He cares about himself. If Trump had to get reelected, he probably would have handled this a little differently. But he doesn't care that the Republicans are going to lose the midterms. I think he thought that was a foregone conclusion. And I don't think he cares that J.D. Vance or Marco Rubio wins the presidency next time around. I think there's a piece of Trump that would like to say, I'm the only one who could do it. The Republican Party's nothing without me. And the rest of us are going to be around to pick up the pieces.
I mean, a fascinating assessment. I mean, I remember early on you picking up, as I did, on what Rubio had said about the reason why America went in. And then the immediate backtracking the next day when they realized, panicked and realized they'd let the cat out of the bag. This was clearly a Netanyahu-driven operation. He had persuaded Trump to come with him. Then we had Antony Blinken saying, well, actually, he tried to do this when Biden was president, when Obama was president. And both times, those two guys said, no, we're not going to come with you. And then he didn't attack. So he clearly got third time lucky with an American president that would come with him. But I remember early on, you know, you and I and others who suggested, dared to suggest that we take Rubio at his word, that actually this was all at Israel's behest. You know, once again, we were anti-Semitic if we said that. This was a hatred of Israel that was driving our warped, crazed minds. And then you read this deep dive in the New York Times. Fascinating. I mean, what's most fascinating to me, they've got somebody on the inside telling them exactly what happened in that situation room, which is fascinating. But when you see it all laid out, it's crystal clear. That's exactly what happened. That Netanyahu got in that situation room at the White House, like you say, unprecedented, the way he had the guy from Mossad on the big screen. He had him there with his... It was like two equal partners. And he persuaded Trump in that room to go in. And I think Trump will regret this. Well, you're right, he may not care. He may want to just say, moving on, it's a big victory, blah, blah, blah. But the reality is nobody thinks this was a big victory for the United States. Nobody can see anything but actually a bit of a humiliation.
It's humiliation piled on top of humiliation. Trump tells Post he's preparing military if Iran fails to comply and talks, we're loading up the ships. Do you think that scares Iran? It's so impotent. All of these threats are so pathetic. Does he really think that they care? He's not the one setting terms here. They are. You know, I'm sick of the way this war is being talked about as if it's a matter of perspective. Right there, Piers Morgan. I mean, he was right in what he said, and he continues to surprise me. He actually came out against what Trump was saying and you know, pointing out how valuable podcasters have been, so-called podcasters have been to Trump. But he's like, you know, this doesn't appear to be a victory. No, this is an abject defeat. What are you talking about? This isn't a matter of perspective. It's not a matter of interpretation. There are facts on the ground, and they are that we lost this war. We've already lost it. As of a week into the war, it was a matter of mitigating the worst negative consequences. And it's the persistent inability to recognize reality that continues us down the path towards total destruction. Iran delegation arrives in Islamabad to talk to the U.S., but insists they won't begin without preconditions met. And those preconditions are that America rein in Israel. Again, this is just the... Again, it's not a matter of perspective, and this isn't a matter of what we've heard for the last 10 years, which was a constant, you know, chorus of the walls are closing in on Trump, the walls are closing in on Trump. But if you look at just the last, 48 hours, it's not that the walls are closing in on Donald Trump. It's that his castle built on sand is crumbling. And there's going to be nothing there. The Iran war is causing shortages all over the world. It is going to, if it hasn't already, destroy the recovery. It's already driven inflation up to where it was in the worst under Biden. You've got Melania Trump going out and giving this press conference without telling Donald Trump, talking about Epstein and trying to quash this email that's been released, which is almost certainly a part of a blackmail operation. It's not a coincidence that the minute Trump gets a ceasefire that Israel hates, all of the sudden, for the first time in months, a mainstream news story comes out about Jeffrey Epstein, and it's tying Melania to Jeffrey Epstein. I mean, we are seeing the blackmail operation just happen right in front of us. And Donald Trump is losing control as he's writing this screed against his former biggest supporters. His wife is giving a speech where she directly contradicts him. He tries to intimidate Iran. They completely call his bluff. So he pretends to agree to a 10-point plan, which is basically a complete capitulation on everything that they want. He agrees to the ceasefire, including Lebanon, but then is incapable of enforcing that on Israel. So Israel breaks the ceasefire. And so then Trump comes out and says, actually, we never agreed to it being a ceasefire, even though we have the admission of the people who made the ceasefire with him, like the prime minister or the foreign minister, whoever it was, of Pakistan, who came out and said, no, Trump agreed to Lebanon explicitly that it would be a ceasefire on Lebanon. So just time and time again, he is showing that he's making demands, Israel is spitting in his face, and he rolls over like a dog time and time and time again. So now he's got a war on his hands that he can't get out of. He's being blackmailed by Israel to, you know, just obviously in a humiliating way in front of everybody. He's incapable of even dealing with the consequences of the war he started, let alone turn it into a victory somehow. We're racing towards the midterms, and he's only becoming increasingly unpopular as he's surrounded by sycophants and manipulators who are destroying the Republican Party from the inside out. Like, it all is really coming down around Trump's ears right now, and he is frantically endorsing Lindsey Graham and telling people to buy Palantir stock and giving speeches about how the new currency will be digital and it'll be CBDCs. I mean, at this point, I don't know what exactly, I don't know the details of what happened, but the only thing I can really, the only conclusion I can really come to is that, like, he fully sold out. And it's just like, all right, I'll be your guy. I will get the prison planet going. I just need a top spot in it. Again, it's just kind of weird because they're going to screw you, Trump. Like, what do you not understand about this? They'll get what they want from you, and then they throw you under the bus. This is how this works. You should know. You do it all the time. Okay. Israel continues to strike Lebanon after Trump asked Netanyahu to stop. In a Wednesday phone call with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, President Trump asked if the Jewish state could please, please pause its strikes on Lebanon in order to help Washington attain a final peace deal with Iran. While Trump said Netanyahu agreed to stop the strikes, it appears the president does not have control over the actions of Israel. On Thursday and Friday, Israel continued to strike Lebanon. I'm telling you, like, what explains this? Honestly, what explains this? Unless it is, I don't know, man, like, literally, yeah, confirms he asked Netanyahu for a more low-key campaign against Hezbollah. Yeah, can you keep it on the down low? Netanyahu that day, the largest bombardment ever, 100 bombs in 10 minutes, killing hundreds of civilians. Again, man, if it was, this was private, it would be one thing. It's public what's happening to him. It's like he's having some little secret agreement with Netanyahu that Netanyahu breaks. Netanyahu is letting Trump go on TV and say, I have gotten a guarantee from Netanyahu he will not bomb Lebanon. And then he bombs the hell out of Lebanon, just humiliating him on purpose. I mean, I'll read it again. President Trump asked if the Jewish state could pause its attacks on Lebanon to help Washington attain a final peace deal with Iran, while Trump said Netanyahu agreed to stop the strikes. So I believe Trump in this instance. Trump is sitting, you know, Netanyahu's going to Trump. Yes, we will stop the strikes, definitely. Trump's like, okay, good. Turns around, tells the news that Netanyahu's just making an absolute fool of him. And he's still declaring victory and still saying the Strait of Hormuz will be open. Thought it was open, except for the missiles. Just absurd. Meanwhile, let's go to clip 20 here. Matt Baker has been, I guess he used AI to create a translation tool. It's really good. So this is extremely useful because a lot of the Israeli statements that are the most objectionable and sort of horrifying are in Hebrew. And X doesn't auto-translate Hebrew, certainly doesn't auto-translate video. So Matt Baker at Slave to Liberty with underscores, can't quite remember where. Matt Baker, you go find him on X because he's been posting these videos. This is Bibi Netanyahu talking about Spain, who recently basically just said, we're not going to sell weapons to Israel anymore, and we're not going to allow America to use our bases or our land to launch attacks on Iran, because we don't like the fact that Israel first carried out a genocide in Gaza and is now trying to port that exact same genocidal activity into Lebanon, which, of course, has a ton of Christians and a big Catholic community that they have that in common with Spain. So here is Bibi Netanyahu declaring war on Spain.
Israel will not remain silent in the face of those who attack us. Spain has slandered our heroes, the soldiers of the IDF, the most moral army in the world. Therefore, today, I instructed to expel the representatives of Spain from the advocacy center in Kiryat Gat after Spain has repeatedly chosen to stand against Israel. Anyone who attacks the state of Israel instead of the terror regimes, anyone who does this will not be our partner regarding the future of the region. I am not willing to tolerate this hypocrisy and this hostility. I do not intend to allow any country to wage a political war against us without paying an immediate price for it.
Yeah, so, like, screw these guys. Screw these guys. Spain has done way more for the world than friggin' Israel ever has. We actually have reasons to be friends with Spain. So, yeah, again, it's just it's. They demand total obsequiousness. They demand complete and total subjugation, even just moderate opposition verbally is enough that they want to kill you. And by the way, I don't think it's a coincidence that as of today, there's hundreds of videos on X of tens of thousands of migrants breaking into Spain. And I know that's because the Spanish government is stupid and socialist and letting them all in and giving them all citizenship. But this is the dichotomy we have to be able to shatter. We got to be able to both not support the genocidal ethno-state of Israel and also not be suicidally stupid and selling out our own countries. I believe that this is possible. I have faith in humanity that we can have principles that preclude both supporting genocide and genociding your own people. What is so goddamn hard about this? Honestly, pardon the French, but like, it is everywhere. It's ubiquitous. It's constant. So it's like, what's Israel going to do to Spain that's worse than what their own government is doing? What could they do? Are they going to send over 500,000 Africans to rape women in Spain, and then when the women are mentally destroyed by the abuse they suffer, kill the women? The Spanish government already does that. So like, we're really getting it from both sides. We're really getting hit from both sides. And again, this is the deliberate false dichotomy that's been created. It's why the Israelis so, you know, offensively took over the Republican Party to bend to their end, because this is the perfect dichotomy. One party is completely dominated by Israel, concerned only with Israel, supporting Israel endlessly because they've been fooled into thinking that somehow being in support of Western civilization, Christian community, means you must support Israel. Like, it's the wildest brainwashing I've ever seen, but it's everywhere. And then the other party will stand up to Israel, will oppose the genocide that they're carrying out, but is relentlessly destroying their own countries more than an outside force ever could. This is the dichotomy that is ideal for the world destroyers and for the globalists. Destroy every country except for Israel, which is unquestionable and supreme. That's the ideal of globalism, because from Israel will reign the Antichrist, the beast system, as capital of the global government. They're telling you it. Why won't we listen to them? Why won't we do something about it? Why are we letting these psychotics drive us towards their apocalyptic end? Why? Ladies and gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies? The delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact. Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health. With Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.